Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight is our call on coaching around urges. We have a few people pre-selected for this very special evening with Corinne. So let's see who's getting coached. We have Carrie, Amber, Katie, and Jeanette. So tonight's calls are, they're all about urges. So I'm going to give us all a minute to get in here. I'm not sure who is, there should be a coach who will be here tonight. Also, I can't remember who's, I think it's Kathy's going to be in here tonight. So she will be in the chat. One of the coaches will be in the chat and they'll introduce themselves in a moment. Yep, it's Kathy. All right, Katie, I'm going to start with you since you have your hand raised first. Kathy, if you'll just remind everyone who, actually Carrie is here. Carrie, I'm going to start with you. And then Amber, then Katie, and Jeanette. So we'll go in order. Awesome. All my girls are here. I love it when everybody's here. Working like a charm. Can you turn your phone like that?
Yes.
It just helps me so I don't get all like dizzy. All right. You tell us, give everybody the short version of what you're getting coached on so that they understand what this call's about.
Okay, so I replied to can't say no to overeating or overdrinking in social situations. And I kind of replied that that applied to me because I feel like I have to drink in order for people to like me, in order to be funny, in order to dance and sex, everything. I just feel like I'm just not comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be if you're used to drinking.
Well, even
how do you know what it's like without it?
I don't know. And I was even trying to think about that, thinking about back to when I didn't think I needed to do that, to do those things.
Oh, and so you actually had experience where you didn't need a buzz in order to do things.
I don't remember it. I assume that I have.
You might not have. Maybe this is a very like trained thing you've done.
I think it is.
What do you think is going to happen if you don't?
I think that in those situations, if I don't have a drink, that I'm not likely to participate.
Why would you not participate?
Because I'm just uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, because you're used to relying on alcohol. But let's just pretend that we're not going to use alcohol to feel comfortable.
Okay.
Or food to feel comfortable. Let's pretend we're going to use Carrie to feel comfortable.
Okay.
Why that face?
I don't know. I guess I've just never been comfortable with Carrie.
Is this the only time this comes up?
Yeah, kind of, because I'm a nurse and I deal with patients all day, every day, and I'm always comfortable there in my element, but I'm just, I don't know that. And that's because I think it's because I'm in a certain role and I do well in that role. I don't know what my issue is.
Well, tell me the last time you went someplace and you had to have a few drinks, or like, do you just have one? Do you have a bunch? What happens?
No, it usually takes like three drinks until I'm comfortable to, like go out on the dance floor. I was at Don't Stop Believing and I was sitting there and I saw you coming and I turned around and I was like, oh my gosh, don't make eye contact. She's going to make people go on the dance floor. I haven't had enough to drink yet. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to look like an idiot.
So let me just ask you this. What if I had said, we're all dancing and nobody gets to drink tonight? It's sober party night.
I mean, I think that that would be okay. And I don't know if I think that the people on the dance floor are all drunk and they've already had their three and that's what makes them comfortable. I know
they've had their three. So three is the magic number. It's like, yeah. You must have three drinks before you can be comfortable.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think you're comfortable or do you think that's the story you tell yourself?
After I've had the three drinks?
Yeah.
I'm just uninhibited, I think.
No, it's not it either.
Okay.
Let me tell you why it's not this.
Okay.
You're telling yourself a really big story. Here's what you're doing. You are shutting down your self-judgment. That's all that's happening.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's the difference. If we said, Carrie, like we're going out and they ban drinking for the rest of our lives, They've banned eating in social situations. Like, nobody can eat or drink anymore. Would you be like, well, now I'm a homebody. Like, I'll just never be able to go out again. I mean, if that's the new law of the land, what would you do?
I would learn to, because I don't want to be a hermit. So I would learn to adjust or get by without it.
Yeah. The only reason why right now that you've convinced yourself you can't get by without it is because you keep telling this story that it makes you do things, that it allows for stuff. The only thing it's really doing is shutting down judgment. Because if you had to do it without the alcohol and stuff, you've already said it would be super uncomfortable. Why would it be uncomfortable? What would be the conversation in your head?
I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah. No wonder you drink. If the only option is have fun with drinks or look like an idiot sitting here.
Yeah, I kind of
think you're going to look like an idiot.
I kind of use food the same way because, you know, if we have people over and there's food all over everywhere, I mean, food's a good distraction, you know, and people don't expect you to talk with your mouth full.
Right. What if people just don't expect you to talk because you have nothing to say?
That would be weird too. I feel like there always the space always has to be filled with something.
What if it's just filled with your real expression? Like, let me just ask you this. You don't think it's weird that when people are around that you're constantly eating? It's like, I keep wanting to talk to Carrie, but her mouth's always full.
Well, and this is a good thing too. I have a couple other people that are the same way.
So we can
band together. And
you know what? I'm sure at some point I've gone to the grocery store and someone's murdered someone and no one's caught them yet. That doesn't make me think, you know, I've been to the grocery store, but there's been murderers. There's people who go to the grocery store that steal. You know, I've been around thieves before. Hell, I've got a best friend who cheats on her husband. What if I was to tell you, like, well, Carrie, of course I'm cheating on Chris. My best friend also cheats on her husband.
Yeah, no.
But do you see what you're like?
Yeah.
Do you see how this is what I want you to notice? You're really hanging on to the idea, I need to eat to be normal. I need to drink to be normal.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is a thought.
Okay.
And you need to start telling yourself, I eat. And it's so not normal to eat to feel comfortable.
Okay.
I mean, I really want you to think about this. Do you think it's normal to eat to feel comfortable around people? Or do you think it's normal, like normal, whatever that's going to be, to like be around people and be uncomfortable sometimes until you figure out how to be comfortable around them because you're a human? You can't learn social interaction unless you start socially interacting.
Okay. So in those situations, I just tell myself,
this is going to fucking suck until I figure this out. Okay. That's what you tell yourself. Cause there's no snow in it. If you're used to numbing your own, like, cause the problem is what you're doing. You're going out with people who you either are self-judging so much, you need to let the guard down for yourself. So rather than doing it with just being like, you know what, I'm just going to decide to actually like myself when I go out. You know, I know that's a long way to get around there without booze, but we could just decide to start talking better to ourselves. Like, I'm not an idiot. I know I'm thinking I'm one, but I'm not an idiot. You know what I am? Just not drinking tonight. That's the only thing that's really happening right now. The other thing that happens for a lot of people is they quit the drinking. And they realize it was not a good time unless there was alcohol involved, which gave it a fake sense of a good time. It was never a good time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or you find out, you go and you actually love it and you like it when it, like, you're just like, oh, I never needed alcohol to begin with. I like the people in my life. I don't need to be drunk to like them.
Yeah.
So where do you think you are on all this?
I just feel like, I'm just totally uncomfortable, and it's the self-doubt and self-consciousness. And I judge myself. It's not judging other people. It's not, I have to be drunk because I don't want to look like them, because I'm envious of those people. Like, I want to be, just go out and just be wild and have fun and, you know, not be inhibited by it.
But so, are they drinking to do all that?
Not always, you know, because this is even at like family weddings, you know, parties and stuff like that. So,
so what do you think it's going to take for you to learn? It sounds like you just want to be someone who can go out and have a good time, whether you drink or not.
Yes.
That you're not relying, because I think the result that you're getting right now is, I am relying on food and drink in order for me to be able to have a good time.
Yes.
Which is not working, because if it was so amazing, you'd be on this coaching call going, I love PNP. I plan my drinks. I'm having an amazing life. You wouldn't be like, I think I need help with this one, Corinne.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's how we know it's not allowing you to have a good time, because if you're actually having one, you also have a good time the next day and a week later.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I want everyone to hear. This is when we know whether or not, like I'll plan drinks to go to Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. The difference between planning drinks to go to Vegas on, like, this is like what Chris and I are going to do, we always have a good time, blah, 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 is there will be like, if the only back end consequence that I'm going to be paying is going to be hangovers. I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be hangovers, but I'm not using it as a fake sense of confidence. I'm not using it to, like, the only way to have a good time would be to drink.
Right.
If I really didn't want to drink, we'd either do something else, or I would just go and not drink, which I've done several times. Not every trip do I go and not drink, but I've gone to the pool several times. I've gone to clubs several times and not felt like drinking.
Yeah, it is a fake sense of confidence. That is exactly what it is giving me. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if it was actually creating confidence, then you would be believing in yourself and you would be able to have that confidence whether you were drinking or eating or not. The drinking or eating would be the most irrelevant part. Here's how we know it's too relevant, is where you feel like you're relying on it in order to have your good time. But I want you to tell yourself, if it's a real good time, if it's really creating like confidence and all these other things that you're talking about, then the next day I'd be able to do it too.
Okay.
Without the booze. And I wouldn't be wishing for something different.
Okay.
So what I want to challenge you to do is like, just find a situation where you're going to go and you're totally not going to drink and you're going to be so super self-conscious. Yeah, it's not going to be fun the first time at all. But this is what I don't want you doing. I don't want you going there and like saying, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. Like, we're not going to sit there and we're going to do it that way. That's the hard way. That's the way that doesn't teach you anything. You're going to go and you're just going to be like, I want to do this one time. And I want to be really honest with myself about what I want to notice, what I think about. What am I noticing? Like I'm not negotiating the drinks. I know I'm going to feel super uncomfortable. I know I'm going to want to drink, but I'm just not this one time.
Okay.
And really experience what it's like. And like, allow yourself to be like, you know, I don't have to do the karaoke this time and get out wild on the dance floor and everything, but I do want to listen to the stuff I say to myself that prevents me from doing it. And is that some stuff I want to start calling bullshit on myself rather than needing to like have a drink over it?
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds very doable, but very uncomfortable.
It is. It's uncomfortable for several reasons. It's because you're used to doing it. For one, you're going to want to do it. You've told yourself. Go ahead.
Sorry. It makes me sound like a raging alcoholic. I'm not. It's just when I go out. Like, when I'm here at home, I'm comfortable. Right. But not socially.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't make you sound like a raging alcoholic.
Okay, good.
What it makes you sound like is like the rest of us.
Okay.
You're putting on a fake persona for other people because you're afraid of being judged.
Okay.
By them. Because you're judging yourself. You might as well be saying that. Like, if you say, what are the things you said to yourself? I'm going to look like an idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's because you think they think you're going to look like an idiot. It's like, I don't want to feel like an idiot. If you don't want to feel like an idiot, then just don't think about idiotic things.
Okay.
That's how that works. You can always just be sitting there thinking, you know, I'm here and I'm just going to be me. And I'm going to learn to start liking me no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I think a lot of us, like me included, who work on our relationship with alcohol and PMP, I'm not saying there aren't alcoholics out there. But what I think a lot of us are doing is we have found that we want to be a truer sense of us. Like, we want to have times in our life where it's like we want the ultimate level of confidence, which means if I'm having the drink, it's because I want to. And if I'm not, it's because I'm very comfortable with myself. Like, we just want to get to the place where we just can take it or leave it. Like, I've never been one to drink because I'm so sad about my life and I'm creating all this stuff and whatnot. But very often I'm the person that will want to drink because I'm like, I did it last night. I had two drinks. I hadn't even planned on it. And what was the next thing I caught myself going, well, Chris is having a beer. I don't want to be left out. It'll be more fun. Well, it wasn't fun this morning when I had to look at my plan and cop to the idea that I had two drinks. I was like, well, that wasn't fun. Those kind of drinks are never fun. Not in the long run. And that's what I think that you're working on is like, how do I have my long-term confidence? How do I create this life where I can go into any room and like myself?
Yes.
Can't learn to like yourself with fake courage.
Okay. Okay. I'm working on it. It actually is, you know, I think it did used to be worse, but through this, through PMP, I'm really gaining a lot more confidence and stuff like that. So it is, it's a process. I'll get there eventually, but
yeah, you know, it's just keep working at it.
Okay.
And you can even like, I would highly recommend, I did this so many times. I did a lot of like
if I just decide I don't want to drink, it's so much easier than it used to be.
Well, and there's still times like I still like even last night, it's just like, you know, it just swooped in. Like I was like, old habit, here we are. And I was like, the next day I'm like working through it. And I'm like, there were so many times I like the smoke signals were there. And I was like, I really could have reached out to my accountability partner. And I was just like, I need to get busy so I don't do that. I'm right there with you guys. But it's like, I have these times where I'm so astonished that I can like go out on a date night. And my big thing was connecting with Chris. I was like, well, this is what we do. We go out, we have drinks. Like this is date night. This is like, you know, it sounded so innocent. And I realized, I was like, oh my God. I am now connecting more to the wine than I am to my husband. I'm more looking forward to having wine than I'm looking forward to spending time with him. I was like, that's not the result I want. So I had to have a few date nights that were super not fun because I would go and not have wine and notice every glass of wine that was served around me and just be real curious what was going on in my head. Because what I wanted to be able to do is like at any time go on date night and like if wine wasn't planned, I had already trained myself on how to connect without it. So you don't worry, you'll do fine. So what I would do is plan a couple times where it's just going to be like, plan the easy events, like where everybody's just going to dinner, like not where karaoke is going down and shit.
Okay.
Start off small.
Okay.
And then plan some where like if you normally drink three, plan like say like it's two, it's not three. Like, we're going to see how much fun we can have on just two. And then we're going to see how much we can have on just one. And just play around with all of it. What happens is the drinks become less important and you start really relying on yourself more.
Okay.
All right, lady.
All right.
Have a good one. You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Who is next? Miss Amber. Guys, when I talk about this stuff too, don't muffle your mic. What am I doing? I'm not sure what I'm doing. I didn't see that. Amber, can you turn on your video, please? So So guys, when we, like a lot of times in the urge calls and stuff, people are going to be talking about drinking and whatnot. If you don't drink, there is no reason why you can't just plug food in. Because almost every single problem that we have when it comes to drinking is going to be exactly the same with food. People will overeat, they will overdrink. They will eat in a social situation to feel more comfortable just as quick as they'll drink to feel more comfortable in a social situation. So just always just interplay those. All right, tell everybody why you're here.
Well, I asked to be coached on how I overeat just because I want it.
Yeah.
So that's me.
All right. Well, why do you just want it?
I recognize that I could stop, and I just feel like when I'm eating, the food's just, it just takes over, like, me. Like, I feel like I become, like, possessed for my food, and
I just... Do you really think food has magical powers like that? Like, there's a leprechaun out there, and he's like, oh, it's Cheetos. Let me sprinkle my dust on it and let it magically take over people's brains.
Honestly, like I do, I feel like it does in some ways. Like I feel like
it feels like it does, but I want you to answer my question.
Logically, no.
Good, because your brain has to quit telling yourself that story. If you keep insisting that, well, because it feels like it magically takes over, you know what your brain thinks? Amber, you can't control yourself around food. So when you start eating this, I'm going to send up every single chemical and every single urge and every single memory I can to remind you, you can't control yourself. It's not because you can't control yourself. Like, tell me one of these magic foods.
Pizza.
Okay. Do you have kids?
Yes, I have two.
And how old?
They're 2 and almost 4.
Okay. So we're all having pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And what, like, when do you like, how many slices do you plan and how many do you normally have when it takes over?
So I usually plan 2 slices.
Okay.
And, sometimes it's also not even planned. Like the pizza wasn't even a plan.
Pizza just appears in the doorway. It's magic. I know it somehow just like, oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
It's not funny. I just feel... I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's not.
No, laugh because this is comical. Because this is what we do. Like you know why it's funny? Because your brain really believes this. And then when you have to say it out loud, it's like, "Oh my God, it might be ridiculous. I think I'm actually buying into some bullshit comedy that my brain has created around pizza." Mhm. So like, let's just pretend it's like, let's say it was planned. Mm-hmm. It didn't come in on a magic carpet. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there and it's like, oh, here's my 2 slices. And then what happens?
I finish those 2 slices. Mm-hmm. And then I usually do try to sit there and watch everyone eat. Mm-hmm. Because they're still eating like normal people. And
And you, like, stop. You've stopped like normal people.
Yeah.
Why did you say that? That is a very odd comment.
Well.
You've ate 2 pieces. They're still eating. And somehow they're now normal. How do we get to that leap? Tell me the reasoning behind that.
Well, I just think that a normal person would be like, okay, I've had my pieces of pizza, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm done, and they can just sit there and have the pizza be in another room and not be like crazy over the pizza.
You think it's abnormal that you're obsessing over the pizza right now?
Oh yeah.
That's not abnormal.
Okay. Other people think about pizza like this or whatever, you know.
People that have been obsessing about it for a long time are going to have to untrain their brain. Yeah. But that doesn't make you abnormal. That makes it a brain pattern that you have.
Okay.
Have you ever watched someone like play drums? like when they were in high school and stuff, they played drums. And then like my brother, he's, I don't know, 44 years old now, 43 years old. You know what he sits around and does, and he hasn't played drums since high school?
He still does the movements. Yeah.
All the time when he gets nervous and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't call him an oddball. You know what I call him? A guy that used to like obsess over drums, and he still has the habit of just doing it. If you have like thought a lot about pizza, thought a lot about food, thought a lot about anything at some point, you're going to think of a lot about it until you learn how to unthink about it. That doesn't make you abnormal. That means your brain's actually working pretty damn on par. It's supposed to be that way. All right. So let's just keep going back. So
okay,
you have finished your two pizzas of pizza. Your family is sitting there eating. Have you removed yourself, or are you still in the room?
I'm still sitting there at the table with everyone else.
Okay. And you're just thinking about their food while they're eating. You're thinking about pizza, pizza.
Yeah.
I'm not having any more pizza. And then what happens?
I do usually remind myself of my goals. I say, you know, no more pizza is not, if I go eat another slice of pizza, that is going to get me further from my goal of where I want to be. And then I feel like I just go and I just go get another piece.
Okay. So at some point you choose to get up and go get another piece. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no magic.
Yeah, no. No. I go and get it.
All you're thinking around it.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there and you're...
But I feel like I don't say like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Let's get up now. It's more like...
No. No, at some point you go, I want it.
Yes, that's exactly...
Yeah, I don't know why you're looking for like... And a narration from a great scholar to come through and be like, let me tell you all the ways of the pizza. It's usually not how it happens. Your brain is too lazy. It's like, if it can, like, this is what your brain has decided. Oh, hey, Amber, you like pizza? I'm going to get it down to three words. So we don't even have to think that hard. I want it. All right, let's go get it. Here's the reason why we know it's not magic though. Let me ask you this. If I told you that I was going to give you $100,000 per child, if you could go a year of following your 24-hour plans, and each kid was going to get $100,000 towards college.
Yeah, I could do it.
So suddenly magic doesn't work. Suddenly your brain can't take over. Suddenly if you think I want it, would you be like, well, fuck that. There goes their college education. I really want that extra piece of pizza. Sorry, guys.
Is my motivation not like...
Don't feel like think this. Would you eat the pizza or not?
I wouldn't eat the pizza.
And why would you not eat the pizza?
I would want the money. And I don't actually need the pizza. I've written that down in so many of my urge worksheets that I don't.
No, you need the pizza right now. You know why you need the pizza?
No, I don't.
Because you keep telling yourself that something takes over and that's why you eat it.
Yeah.
You haven't taken ownership yet. That okay. Every single time I go eat it, it has nothing to do with other than I get my ass up and I go do it. That is the only thing that happens. I am not a victim to pizza. There's no magic involved in pizza. It's not because I'm so broken and abnormal. Like other people do this better than I do. Like all of that is the reason why you keep eating the pizza, because you haven't taken responsibility yet that like I want pizza and I'm not telling myself a hard no. I don't have a compelling enough reason to stop myself. And the problem is that sometimes you're still going to eat the pizza with a strong, compelling reason, but you don't have a compelling enough reason yet, even to in those moments, to quit denying yourself a victimized story around it.
Okay. So there's no magic.
No. All of you, please hear the word coming out of my mouth. There's zero magic. There's no magic thought. There is going to be 1,000 more pizza incidences in your future where you are going to have this conversation with yourself. over and over and over again. And every time you eat pizza, you have to tell yourself, and there was nothing that happened here other than I wanted it, I got up, and I did it against my own wishes. Mm-hmm. Like, that piece is the suckiest part of all, because until you're really ready to take on that level of responsibility for yourself, it's easy to spin out and just feel like it's just happening to you. You're never slowing it down enough. Like, if you really took from this, this is totally all my responsibility. Every single time, like, all of your thought downloads, all of your models, all your stuff that you've been spiraling out on, somehow I'm broken, somehow I'm abnormal, somehow this isn't right, somehow these are all these things. It's like, no, it's literally because I keep getting my ass up and going getting the pizza. So what do I need to do now? So what do you need to do now? Like, what is the next thing you need to try?
I honestly have been thinking of just not having pizza anymore. I just think that maybe I, for the next few months, or I have like a goal in mind, and I have a tracking how I'm doing along with it. And I've been doing pretty well. But I feel like if I can just eliminate it completely from my life for 6 to 9 months, I can get to my goal, and then I can work on it then.
And then you can bring pizza back, and it will have every ounce of control over you again, except this time you will have lost all your weight, and then you'll be dealing with trying to say no to pizza. And then you'll be scared to death you'll gain weight. That's why that line of thinking doesn't work. Let me just remove it. Mm-hmm. Removing it's not the solution. What if you plan? What if y'all had pizza every night this week, and you like went through the fire of figuring out how to say no? Mm-hmm. And you need something different to tell yourself. Like, let's put it this way. Like, let's say it's your pizza. What else do you want to tell yourself? And like, I have goals. That's not working for you. What else are we going to think about?
Well, that's the main purpose. Like, I feel like is I have weight goals, and I have.
So what's your weight goal?
I want to be 150 pounds by this Christmas.
Why?
We're going to Mexico with my sister, and I haven't been in a few years to Cabo. So.
Okay, that has nothing to do with being 150 pounds. Why do you need to be 150 pounds in Cabo with your sister?
Well, that's just kind of what I had set. Like, I had set that as a goal. Like, that's what I...
Okay, so this is why we know this sucks for a goal. When I ask you, why is it important to you? It's like, well, I don't know. I just kind of set that one. I grabbed it. It's no wonder why when pizza's in the room, you're just like, no, I'll take that. Because that's way more interesting than this 150-pound goal for Cabo that I can't even give you a good reason why I said it. Do you see the problem? Mm-hmm. It isn't that it has magic. It's there's no better reason to say no. It's like when it's going to feel like ass, why are you going to say no? What is going, this is where I want to get you to. What is it going to be like, this is the sobering reason why I would, in that moment, shake and tremble on the inside, really salivate for pizza, watch my kids eat it with delight and me not have any because I didn't plan for that. What is it that you're going to say in the moment that's going to be like, and this is why I'm feeling all of this right now. This over here means more to me right now. Mm-hmm. It's not Cabo. Tell me why you're losing weight. Why did you even join PNP?
I had tried a bunch of other things with my husband. I did keto diet. I did P90X, and I couldn't lose any weight. I have real big problems with snacking and overeating in general, eating crap, like complete crap. And I have my two kids, and, you know, I've been trying to lose weight since my, you know, youngest one was born. And even my oldest, I tried losing weight after she was born. And
you have not told me one reason why you want to lose weight.
Because I don't look good. My clothes are huge. I used to hang up my clothes, like we had a hanging line, and I would always see my clothes and be like, those aren't my clothes. Like those aren't my pants.
You don't like how you look. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And so do you want to look good?
Yeah.
Why do you want to look good?
I think I would feel a lot better. Like I felt a lot better. I felt just more healthy when I was thinner. I was able to be more active and not have as much back pain. I had less headaches than I do now. I just feel like everything about being thinner is better. You can buy clothes easier. It's just...
So why do you want your life easier?
Well, my life isn't hard. I have my sticky note here to think of my life in a positive way. So I just feel like, you know, everything is easier. It's just generally easier. Like for business purposes, like if you're the skinny woman in the room, you are, you know, someone who's looked at versus someone who's overweight. You're just overlooked. Your opinion doesn't matter as much.
Is so funny because like everything that you believe about being overweight, you're creating with pizza. You're overlooking your goals. You're overlooking your dreams. You're overlooking yourself when you eat pizza. It's like you're living out the very definition of what you think an overweight person is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also like taking the easy road of just saying yes to all the stuff. It's like you crave an easy life so that you're just taking the easy way out with a terrible consequence. I think one of your biggest problems is you don't really know why you want to lose weight.
Okay.
You have a lot of things you want to run away from. You think that the easier life is because of being thin. The reason why people aren't overlooked isn't because they're thin. It's because they speak up. Just as many thin people in the world don't get promotions and raises because they don't speak up at the job.
I feel like I speak up all the time. But
good.
What you're saying.
It won't be because of your weight. But I want you to see why you're obsessing over pizza. Like, it's because you haven't really even identified why you're doing this to begin with. And the reasons why you've told me, like, this is all the things that will happen for me when I'm thin, you know, are bullshit. Your life is not going to be easier and better. Now, will your back pain probably go away? Yes. Will you move around easier? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't lose weight and magically get promotions. And everybody think you're now a rock star because you're thin. Like on a job, seriously, I want you to just challenge yourself on that. Because if that's one of your biggest reasons, it's why it's not pulling for you.
Okay.
So you need to tell me why you really want to lose weight. What is the thing that will make you cry?
To be completely honest, I guess I just don't know then. I mean, I couldn't do it on my own, and I don't know.
Well, why are you about ready to cry now?
I don't know. I just feel on the spot because I am on the spot.
Yeah, you are.
And I don't know. I like my life.
So let me point out something obvious. I like my life, but I keep telling myself when I'm thin, life will be better.
Mm-hmm.
If you really like your life, that is one reason why you're not running towards thinness, because it would be like spitting on this life that you've already agreed to, that you're loving.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to drop the idea that being thin means a better life. Being thin means you weigh less.
Yeah.
But you need to know why you want that. Is it to enhance this life that you already have?
Okay, yeah, I would say that. That sounds better. Because I don't want to be like, I don't like my life. I really like it. So.
Yeah. I want more of the, like, honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, Amber, if I could get more of the girls to come on here and, like, fucking quit hating on their life and, like, realize the good life they have, it'd be a lot easier for them to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us think we have to hate our life or be shitting on our life or think we're eating because our life is so terrible. It's like, we don't eat because life's terrible. Mm-hmm. We sit around in a big old poopy diaper all the time and then we go eat and try to blame it on that so that we can keep eating and we don't have to say no to ourselves. That's what we're doing. Let's just all be honest for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my life is great.
I want you to, like, love your life, and I want you, like, y'all order pizza tomorrow night. Do you have dinner plans already that we can't change it to pizza?
No. Okay. We could order pizza. I still have pizza in my fridge.
There you go. Well, then I want you to sit there and I want you to tell yourself, here's the reason why I'm saying no. Because I have an amazing life. And pizza no longer defines it. You know what defines it? Me and thinking about my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And me and watching them eat pizza and enjoy it. And me learning how to enjoy my kids eating pizza rather than obsessing about pizza.
Exactly.
That's what an up-leveled life is all about. And as I get thinner, this life is just magnifying because I'm going to, for once, be looking at the amazing life I have and not thinking about the food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a process you teach yourself how to do. And you start that by not saying food is magic and that it has a pull. And then it somehow takes over. The only reason why it's taking over is because you're not allowing your brain to focus on what's really important. I'm losing my weight because this life's so good. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when I'm at the end.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, it's just, that's just kind of how I feel. I feel like, you know, we can't go back and we can only go forward. And I just, you know, looking back, I remember my life as I was thinner. And then now in the future, you know, I just feel like I always felt everything was awesome all the time. And
I want you to teach yourself.
I don't think, I know that that's not true at all in a certain
Here's what's very true about it. Your life was really awesome. Well, this is the thing. Your life was really awesome back then. You happened to be thin, but your life was awesome because you created that life with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's because I was thin. Remember the model. If you mm-hmm. felt awesome, it was because of something you were thinking about your life. You might have been thinking, thank God I'm thin. Shit's easier now.
Well, food was easier. Food was a lot easier for me.
Why was it easier then?
I could eat whatever I wanted. I could...
like you can do in PNP.
Well, I could overeat. I can't do that now.
You never could overeat. You know why?
Well, because I didn't gain any weight.
No, you did at some point. Even if it was because of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That meant you could never overeat and not pay the consequence later. And you think that the only consequence you paid with overeating is it's just weight. Has to be just weight. You don't know what would have happened with 30 years of overeating.
Oh, I know.
And you never gained weight. Like, that is what the reason why I'm pointing it out is because that thought about what was happening is super unhelpful for you now.
Okay.
You will never feel like you have authority over food if you think there was this time when you could overeat and it was all okay. It's like, you need to just tell yourself, I don't give a damn what my weight was doing. It was never okay that I ate more than my body allowed.
Yeah, it wasn't a good choice. Definitely.
No,
and the type of food was not a good choice, no.
Yeah, just because you didn't break out in fat doesn't mean you weren't, like, breaking out in emotional numbness or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know how we know it wasn't a good idea? Because today when you need to have a normal relationship with pizza, you don't. Mm-hmm. That's why we tell ourselves there was never a time I could just overeat and it was all so great. It's like, no, it never was great. All right. So your homework literally is I want you to write 30 reasons why you're losing weight.
Okay.
30 good ones. I want you to think about the babies, your future self, everything that you're doing it for.
Because okay.
In the moments when you're going to want to eat, you need to know about 30 good compelling reasons. So you can just run through them, run through them, run through them. Because this is what I want all of you to hear, that your call is so important, Amber, is that in the moment when you're going to feel abnormal and obsessive, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hard, and you're going to salivate and all the things, there's got to be something sitting there that can hold this same amount of attention for you. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to have to be held at the same time. And it takes a little bit and it's exhausting, but it has such a sweet payoff in the end.
Okay.
It's teaching you what's really important in life.
And so I should eat pizza for a week?
I'm going to tell you, if you want on the Orient Express of learning how to sit through urges, this is what most of you do. You're like, I'm going to order pizza this one day and I'm going to fuck up and I'm going to wait like 10 days and try again. It's like, no, do it like the next day. Like I would literally just keep doing it because all of the pain and all of the mistakes and all the stuff is fresh in your mind. Okay. Give you the energy to like move forward the next day. Like let it pull you forward.
Okay. Thank you so much, Corinne, and pull me back.
I feel like I just like, I don't know, sat around, kicked a puppy and just said, yay, it's a good day.
Well, you may have kicked it, but you pulled me back up. I'm okay.
And I love that you wore a headset because you sound amazing for the video here.
Oh, good. I do it for work. I got it for work.
Awesome. Well, you're going to do fine. You're going to do fine.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right. I'll see you later.
Bye.
All right. That was a good call. Yeah, yeah. Nothing like some puppy kicking to get the day started. Well, close out the evening. Who's next? Katie. Katie, where'd your hand go? You had your hand raised at one point. I'm looking for Katie and Jeanette. Well, Jeanette, I'm going to call on you because I don't see Katie. I wonder if Katie had to leave. Because I took too long. Katie, if you come back, will you make sure that you raise your hand? Hello, Jeanette.
Hello.
Are you ready to get kicked around like a little puppy?
I'm still in tears after that one, so I don't know.
All right, well, tell everybody what you're getting coached on tonight.
Oh. Is she back?
I think you froze up a little bit, but I think you're going again.
Am I here?
Yeah, I think you're here.
Okay. I'm here because my urges feel intolerable to me.
Okay.
And I feel like I have a good handle on things until they start. And then everything goes out the window because I feel like they're so strong. And I'm so careful about what I say now because I think about everything I say, but I can't resist them. And I know I'm not supposed to resist them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want you to like erase that out of your like whole vocabulary.
Yeah.
Cause resist means I'm going to push against them. I'm going to like fight with them. That's probably why they feel intolerable. Mm-hmm. So when they feel intolerable, what is it that you're thinking about?
The urge.
I mean, it's, yeah, like what are the thoughts that swirl around about the urge?
It just feels like this itch inside my brain and I can't, it just feels like it rattles around in there and it grows and grows and grows. And then like my whole, like all the nerves in my body feel like they just start yearning out of me towards wherever the food is. And it doesn't even matter if the food is at a convenience store 4 miles away.
Right.
It yearns that far.
Yeah. Well, that's not far. It's still 4 miles away. Your brain is just going there. Mm-hmm. So tell me how it actually feels in the body though. So like you said, it feels like an itch in your brain. Tell me like physically what you go through. It has to be all physical though.
Hold on. I wrote this down.
Awesome. You've got some homework. I'm very proud of you. Usually if I ask somebody the physical symptoms, they're like, I don't know.
So what I wrote is that it feels like it starts as this seed in my brain. And then the seed.
That's exactly what happens, is it does start as a seed. That's an urge. Okay.
And it grows and then it fills up all the space. And then my body starts to, I say yearn, but it feels like a physical thing. My whole body just feels like it starts to just get.
Like what happens in your chest?
I think it probably gets tight. Like I start to feel like I can't breathe. My heart pounds. Mm-hmm. And then that's usually as far as I get. And then I go eat.
So why not wait a little longer to see what other physical sensations kick it? Like, so how long are you waiting right now? Like if you had to take is it 1 minute, 10 minutes, 30, hour?
Lately, I've been doing the 90-second count back.
Okay. Have you tried to do 2 or 3 cycles of that?
2 cycles.
Okay. And why not a third?
I think I've been doing this so long that I'm always afraid of what's going to happen if I don't eat.
Like what might happen if you don't eat?
I don't know.
So you're afraid something unknown will happen.
Yeah. Like
I not eat.
Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I've been doing this for so long. I've been doing this since I was 9 years old and it's just, I'm so ingrained as a habit.
So what could you do? Let's just pretend that you're going to wait mm-hmm. and you're going to go like, let's say we're going to spend 20 minutes. Like mm-hmm. not. What is 180 seconds? I don't even, you're doing 3 minutes. Like, I'm so amazed I did this math. I'm just going to tell you right now, I feel like somebody should walk in here with like confetti guns. So you've been doing 3 minutes. So let's pretend it's going to be 20. Mm-hmm. Like 20 minutes mm-hmm. of tight chest, breathing. What do you think is going to happen in that 20 minutes?
My logical brain knows that I'll survive it and the urge might peak and then go off.
Yeah. What is your other part of your brain saying?
The other part of my brain literally thinks my brain might explode and I'll die.
Okay. That's when you need to just say like, one, that's obviously bullshit. When's the last time you saw on the news someone's brain? Like, I would just say to myself, literally brain, the best story you have is that my brain's going to explode and I'm going to be on the news as the first person ever that wanted like a hamburger and their brain exploded and they had to come clean that shit up.
I know it's bullshit. I know that now.
Yeah.
But when I'm in the middle of it and I'm driving and I know I have a long drive coming up and I want to stop and get snacks and relax and, you know, it's, I want to relax. That's right, all my recovery worksheets and everything. That's where it comes from.
So is it real? Is it, I want you to answer this question. Honestly, is it truly relaxing?
For the first 2 minutes, probably.
No,
no, it's not.
This is what I want to point out to all of you. And this is what happens. We mistake very often relaxation or connection or some of these comfort. We mistake those feelings. We identify as, oh, that's the feeling I'm feeling right now. You know what's really happening? I'm turning off thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's not relaxing. Tell me about a time when you truly were relaxed. Like, have you ever gone and gotten a massage, or have you ever gone like to, like, I don't know, have you ever been under anesthesia?
I've been under anesthesia. The drugs they give you right before they put you under anesthesia is really good.
Natalie, did you feel like that when you were having a snack?
No. No, definitely not.
So you probably weren't relaxed. This, like, I want you guys to really pay attention to what we're talking about here, because the more you tell yourself, it's because I need to be relaxed, I'm looking for relaxation, you'll have to keep eating and looking for it. If you keep telling yourself that's what's happening when it's truly not, you're never solving the itch.
Right.
What you're doing is you're turning off the uncomfortableness. You're turning off the pressure and telling yourself it's something else is happening. Your brain knows more. It's smarter than that. It's like, but you wanted to be relaxed. You aren't relaxed. So now I've got to beat you up on the back end enough to where the next time you'll do it again until we can figure out how we connect these two. You're literally eating simply to end the urge. Mm-hmm. That's all that's happening, but that's all you need to be telling yourself too. You tell yourself this other stuff, then every time you feel uncomfortable, you're going to try to solve it again with the same old tired things you've been doing, and it's never completed the process. So if you were so relaxed, you know what you'd be doing on this call, just like I was talking to the other girl. You'd be coming on here going, I don't know why you do these urge calls. I'm just going to tell you, I stop and get snacks, and sometimes I even eat at night when I haven't planned it, and I'm the most relaxed individual that ever was. Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel great that I broke my plans tonight because it was so relaxing.
Why does it feel so relaxing in the moment, though?
It doesn't feel like you have to quit telling yourself that you're feeling relaxed. What are you actually feeling? I want you to really think about this.
Is it relief?
Relief from your thoughts.
Right, right.
That's all.
I don't like my thoughts.
Right. So change them. You know what you're doing? You're saying, I want to keep these shitty thoughts I don't like, so I'm going to eat to turn them down for a few minutes, and then I'm turning them right back on with a big healthy dose of bullshit judgment on the backside. Like, you, like, literally, please watch this call again.
Oh, I will.
Because you have coached yourself on this. Like, but I don't like my thoughts.
I don't.
So we have to work on changing them. You need to work on changing them rather than doing all this work on bullshit recovery worksheets on overeating. Like, I'm not saying quit doing your recovery worksheets. I'm saying let's quit responding to urges. Let's just see if your brain explodes. I'm going to Vegas and betting that it doesn't.
Oh, it's just, it's, I joined in April, and the one thing, you know, it's like, you know, you join and you get all excited and you're like, oh, this is it. And I'm going to lose all my weight. And I'm like, oh my God. And I had a call with Kathy maybe 6 weeks ago or so. And I was like, why isn't this better yet? And she's like, it's only been a month, but you know, I haven't lost any weight. I've lost the same 5 pounds and gained, you know, not the same 5 pounds, but I've lost five, I've gained five. And you know, I can feel it starting to shift a little bit, like my attitudes towards it and my thoughts are changing.
Yeah.
But you know, and up until I've been waiting for this workshop because, you know, the binging behavior has been so ingrained in me for so long. And I do it despite even these horrible physical consequences that I get because, it makes me so sick. And I usually am like in and out of the bathroom, like no joke, like 30 times overnight. And I still do it. And it's just like, I don't know how to change my thoughts so that I can catch it before it gets bad.
Well, here's the news. Number one, how much work are you doing on your thoughts away from the binging? Or are you waiting until after the binging to start doing a lot of work?
I was. But I tend to do most of my work when I'm feeling in control.
And when you say doing most of your work, what does that mean to you?
I'll do a TDL or journaling and my planning. I'm not as good about assessing my plans, especially if I've had a binge. I don't go back and assess because I'm just...
The most important time to assess.
I know.
This is what I want to tell you. You're going to have to become an uncomfortable detective. Right now, you are avoiding so much discomfort. You're avoiding doing the assessment because it's going to have judgment. You're probably going to need to do some assessments, have judgment, and learn how to push the judgment away and say, not today. You know why that's really important? If you can learn to push aside judgment thoughts, you will also learn the skill of being able to set aside urge thoughts. It's the same thing. It's like judgment and urges and stuff. They're all on that feeling action line. Like they're all in that area. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's above them is the thought. So no matter what you're dismissing, it allows you to practice having some kind of thought error come in. Like my brain's going to explode. I'm not sure what will happen if I just don't overeat. It's like, let's take wild guesses. If we quit overeating, oh, we might lose weight. Mm-hmm. Oh, we might discover there's a part of our life we don't like. We probably should just work on that area. We discover we're bored at night. That's why we keep overeating. We should probably get a hobby. Mm-hmm. Learn something new. Find a friend. Risk rejection. Whatever it is. We do that. Yeah, but like... we trade in that so we don't reject ourselves anymore. We allow somebody else to reject us because we can deal with other people's rejection. Mm-hmm. The hardest rejection in the world to deal with is your own. And so it's like, I want you to first and foremost, you have got to do every assessment. I don't care how ugly it feels. I just want you to do them. Mm-hmm. And if some judgment comes along for the ride, just say like, I am willing to listen to my own bullshit right now. And feel sad about it.
Yeah.
So that I can feel sad enough to be like, this is some shit. I'm not going to say this to myself anymore. And if I do, I'm stopping it until I get really good at stopping that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I want you to like give yourself a minimum of now 5 minutes. Like, when an urge hits, I'm going to allow myself to feel super urgy and antsy and itchy and tighten my chest and all the physical things for at least a good 5 minutes. But I'm going to listen, and I want you to do it with paper.
Okay.
I want you to listen to what you think about, because you're going to think things like, I can't take this. Corinne's crap for making me do this. I should just quit that tribe. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm never going to get over this. I'm too old to stop binging. I might as well just eat. I'll feel better. It'll give me relief. And you need to like listen to all of it and say, and none of it's true. And like every sentence, and this isn't true, and this isn't true. And I'd write them down, and I would write down, and this isn't true.
That's the thing, is that none of this is true.
Yeah.
I'm not good at the words to talk back to myself because I've been doing it for so long that I don't know how to answer it.
Tell me some of the bullshit you tell yourself. Just give me one and let me give you some answers. And then you can go back and you can transcribe this. And like, I would literally do this, write them on sticky notes, like have your thought and a counter to it. Have like even create like index cards and put them on a key ring and have it and keep it with you in the places you're most likely to binge. All right. So tell me some thoughts that you have, and I'll help you with some good old Corinne comebacks.
I'm so lame that I'm still dealing with this.
That's something I just think. Like, literally, it does not have to be complicated. Mm-hmm. It needs to be something so simple. Like, what is it? I'm so lame to still be dealing with this. And that's just something I've been thinking a long time.
I can't believe you're going to put yourself through this again.
And I'm willing to do it until I unlearn it. Like, are you willing to binge 100 more times to solve this?
I didn't think I was, but I think I am, because it affects so many other areas of my life. Mm-hmm. That even if I didn't ever lose another pound, I would rather have this stop.
Yeah.
And I didn't used to think that. Crap.
You know, that's like a huge forward step though, right? You have to give yourself credit for that. I ask that to people all the time. It's like, are you willing to set aside weight loss to end this problem? That's when I know somebody's serious. Because, like, really, to end binging, you have to be willing to set aside weight loss to truly focus on that one thing. Because this is what I want you to understand. And, like, this is painful for you. And let's, like, stop that pain. And, you know, like, my best friend binges. Like, probably, like, right now she's doing pretty good, but it's typically 1 to 3 times a week, pretty good binges. And one of the things that we've been really working on is compassion and love through it all.
Yeah.
And she's just decided. She is so ready to, like, she's like, if I have to binge for the rest of my life, the one thing I will do is never beat myself up over it again. And I'm going to learn that step first.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I'm willing to, the amazing thing, we've worked together on this years now, years. And she's in such a better place with it. Because when she does it now, sometimes they're, you know, rather large, but sometimes she catches herself stopping in the middle, reaching out when she used to withdraw in.
I did, one of the big, huge things I did a couple weeks ago was, one of the things I tend to do is, like, I'll go out to the store to get milk or whatever, and I'll get something to eat on the way home. But this time, well, first of all, twice I've stopped in Marco Polo on the way there to my group and said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it again when I get out. And that's worked. But one time I decided to buy everything that I wanted, and I brought it home and I put it on the island, and I showed, and I've never done that before, but I showed my husband, I said, this is what I would want to do. And I'm putting it here, and I'll eat it if I want it later, but you know what I wanted. And I didn't want it. I didn't even eat it. He wound up eating it all, like, over the next 5 days. Because it was there, and I had done that, and I literally didn't want it at that point.
Here's what I want you to think about. I know this seems so enormous, but you have made so much progress. I mean, like, I want you to really think about probably where you were 6 months ago with this. Like, sharing, reaching out, letting your husband see the reality of, like, you know, what, how you eat and stuff. Like, you're really pulling apart some of the key pieces of what keeps binge eaters binging, which is secrecy and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you take those pieces out, the more you're going to find other chunks to solve. Right now, I think what's happening is you're just in this place of, like, the next big epic thing for you will be to have urges and have a few that you just now can sit through and, like, be like, oh wow, my brain didn't explode. Oh wow, like, some of the stuff that I was so afraid of didn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the next, I'm going to promise you, that's going to be the next thing that's coming up for you.
I think I'm getting closer to that.
I just want you to, like, be patient with yourself on this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make this so heavy. Like, it's so intolerable. I would never tell you, like, never, all of you, never describe a binge as big, hairy, or intolerable ever again. You know why? You know what an urge should be? It should always just be an urge.
Yeah.
It should never get special treatment by you. If you treat it special, it's going to act like a little diva.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Let's put a crown on her head.
Anticipation is almost always worse than the actual event. Like, and I've found that with almost everything in my life, and I've had some like seriously life or death problems. But you know, the anticipation of bad news is always worse. And I think for me, like the urge, I grow it up so big in my head, yeah. And it makes it all that much worse.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier. I don't like what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. It's like the solve for not liking what you're thinking is to literally start figuring out and be highly selective about what you want to think. It's like, figure out, like, these are the things I tell myself in the moment. And here's something super easy I can tell myself. Just like, that thought's not good enough for me anymore. This thought's not true anymore. I know better than to believe this shit that I'm thinking. All of that is like easy, easy, easy hacks. You don't need a magic thought. And then in your strong time, like when you are away from all of this, like, do you feel pretty good usually, like in the mornings or something? Like, when is the time when you're just like, my best self is engaged?
Morning. Absolutely. Definitely morning.
Here's what I would spend my time with in the mornings. Telling yourself every day why you're worth it. Amazing things about yourself. Reiterating the progress you're making. What you're looking forward to that day. Like, I would not write about, and I'm so afraid I'm going to have urges tonight. Mm-hmm. Never say that again. It doesn't help you. You know what you should just say? Well, never fear an urge again, because they're not big, they're not intolerable, they're not hairy. They're urges, and I'm working on it. And if it comes, I will deal with it.
I like that.
Yeah, I think for a lot of you girls, what I notice when you guys come into these calls is y'all are spending a whole lot of time thinking about how terrible you think. Thinking about how bad you feel and stuff. And you're not taking enough time to like focus in on what's right. What's mm-hmm. going right. Build on that. You got some, I mean, I just pulled out so many things from you and I'm just like, what? You're doing this? What? Like, we should be talking about that.
I know. And I'm not, it's like every, and sometimes when I do resist the urge, like I won't even celebrate that. I'll either tell myself that, you know, okay, you're finally doing what you're supposed to do, which is a poison thought, or I'm actually disappointed that I wasted the opportunity, which is really, see, my go-to is like, that's a really
disappointed you wasted the opportunity to eat.
Yes.
Okay. Then you just need to tell yourself, it's like, okay, that's crap.
Yeah.
You know, just say like, oh, this is what I would tell my brain. Yeah. Well, you'll be disappointed on Friday when I weigh in. I would just acknowledge that stuff and don't get upset that you're having those thoughts. Literally. Yeah. I want you to think about, I have a lot of old programming. Yeah. And it's good to know what I'm thinking, because that means I get to change any of it I want. Mm-hmm. You're already demonstrating that you can change how you think because of the actions you're taking. You don't show your food to your husband, and you don't like Marco Polo accountability groups unless your thinking is already happening. Those are actions always driven by thoughts and feelings. And your thoughts may be like, I just need more help. It's time to be honest. I don't know what it is that you're thinking, but it's driving you to do things mm-hmm. that are going to create amazing results. So you're already proven to your brain that it can think on another level whenever you're doing your work. So all that other stuff that's going to come up, let it come up. It's going to come up probably for 10 more years anyway. There's no sense in being upset about it.
True.
No. I think shit about myself all the time. I was so upset with myself this morning that I yelled at Chris. Like screaming, yelling, and all kinds of bullshit. And then as I was doing it, this is what my brain said. Oh my God, apologizing tonight is really going to feel terrible. And I was like, Yep. There's going to be a price to pay. And it was because my mind wasn't managed well this morning. I rushed through my own thought work knowing that I didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned my lesson. Don't rush your thought work. All right, lady. Good call. Thank you so much for sharing. You have a lot of people who are like, you are not alone.
I have to go back and look at the chat. There's a lot of...
Oh, yeah. They're over there getting on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a really good call. Katie had to leave. Okay. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Katie. I hate it. Was it because I was running late, Kathy? Ooh, hope not. Probably. Tell her I'll tell you in a minute. How do I teach myself to stop wanting my magic foods? I think we just covered that. And your name is the best, Monkey Butt. That's what I used to call Logan when he was a baby. But it's not that you want to stop wanting the magic foods. First of all, there's no magic foods. Basically, is what you're saying is like, there are foods that aren't going to get me to my goal, and how do I stop wanting them? The only way to stop wanting them is to quit eating them when you want them. You have to untrain your brain to want them. If you, like, this is the way the brain works, guys. It keeps sending signals down to anything that you consciously choose to reward it with. So, like, if you keep eating the pizza and you keep doing this just because you want it and stuff, guess what? It's like, oh, okay. She must want to keep that habit around. So I'm just going to ingrain it a little more and a little more and a little more. And send up stronger and stronger requests for these foods. If you want to stop wanting it, you're going to have to go through a period of really wanting it and then telling yourself no, because I really want to have this instead, which is like a goal or whatever, or respect for myself, or I want to have honor that I always keep my word, whatever it is that you're wanting, right? To be the example for my children, that kind of stuff. In those moments, you have to talk to yourself about the other wants that you want. And that is going to require you to, like, for some of us who, like the pizza girl, who, like, I think it was Amber, who it happens fast, is for a lot of times, like, once you have an overeat, you must do the assessment so that your brain is very aware for the next time, the conversation, the feelings in your body, the emotions that you have, for the environmental cues, the times of day, the things that might have happened in the earlier part of the day that all preceded, like, oh, and when all those things happen, I notice that my brain likes to send up food urges later. The more that you're aware of all that, they don't just hide. What most of you do is you don't want to do the recovery worksheet so you can hide from yourself. You're hiding from the shame and the judgment and the talk and all this other stuff. While you're hiding from that, guess what else you're doing? You're also hiding from vital information. It's going to help you stop doing behaviors that you don't want to do anymore. So the real key is getting super aware of all the things that you can around what happens for food urges to start. And then when you do, they start sticking out like a sore thumb. They're no longer camouflaged. They're no longer happening fast. It's like they're happening the same way. It's just like your brain, it's like it sees more. It notices more. And it gives you the opportunity to start doing 90-second countdowns and things. It starts giving you the opportunity to slow things down. But in the beginning, guys, you're going to do a lot of work on just understanding patterns, understanding all that kind of stuff. And then it'd be like, and you know what? There was this one day, Corinne, I really realized that every time I walk to the pantry and just stand there, that's why I eat. It's not because I thought that I was just on autopilot, somehow magically appearing in front of the pantry from my car every day. A lot of us think, like, when we first describe it, it's like, it's just happening to me. I just notice I'm in the pantry. You were always very consciously choosing it all. You just weren't so aware of everything going on that you weren't noticing it. That is the point of recovery worksheets and stuff, to get you amped up more on being able to notice things. All right. I'm not through all the urge material yet, but does PNP teach not making healthy subs for foods like pizza? Oh, you can for sure. People can make healthy subs for pizza, but it comes from a whole different energy. What's happening is, like, I don't care if you guys plan real pizza or healthy pizza or whatever, but what we're talking about here is people are having an urge to just overeat or to eat things that aren't on their plan and stuff. But it's like, yeah, it's like I make healthy nachos. Like, we do healthy stuff here all the time, healthy subs of other stuff. That's just called leveling up, and that's fine. But what we're talking here is, like, the solve to having food urges isn't to just be able to overeat Franken foods or healthy versions of foods. But what we're really trying to solve is, like, why do we want to overeat to begin with? Both, all of our callers pretty much said the reason why they're eating is to shut down the bullshit talk they have in their head. I don't like the conversation I'm having in my head. I am not sitting here thinking about the greater good for me. I'm not sitting here it is okay to feel like I really want pizza, but I'm not because of these reasons. Like, those things aren't going on. It's like, I shouldn't be having this urge. I must be abnormal. Who sits around thinking about pizza all the time? My brain's going to explode if I wait, you know, another 90 second round. Like, I don't like my thoughts, which is what our last caller said. That is the key. And just having a healthy version of pizza doesn't change the relationship you have with yourself. It's just a different piece of food going in your mouth. My job is not to teach you guys literally how to eat. Like, if you want to, like, figure out how to level up your foods, that's great. But my job really is to teach you how to like yourself, how to think about your body, how to think about your life, how to think about your goals, how to think about your food in a way that builds you up. So that if you want to level up your food, you're doing it because it's like, man, I want to be the kind of person that eats healthy pizza. Like, I'm all in, rather than I need to eat healthy pizza because I have, like, pizza has control over me. We don't want that. How long does it take to break these habits? Yes, I know you're rolling your eyes. Is it like a normal break or longer period? It just depends, Nicole. It really depends on the person. Some people can, like, break a healthy habit in a few days because what they do is they change all those thought patterns so fast. They're just really good at, like, figuring out a sentence that's just like, oh, this right here motivates me. Oh, this right here did it for me. Like, for some of us, like, I will tell you, like, some of these habits, if you're just wanting to lose, like, say 30 pounds because you want to look good in a bathing suit and stuff, but it's not super compelling, but it's fun, right? It may take you longer until you find, like, a real compelling reason. Let's say somebody else has 30 pounds and they just heard they had a cancer diagnosis. And the only way that they're not going to, like their cancer will go, like, their, let's say chemo will go better if they drop that 30 pounds or just something, like, think about that. Their habit will be a lot easier to break because they will have such a compelling reason. It has way more to do with how you decide to think as to how long it's going to take and the amount of, like, doo-doo that you go through. Why was it so much easier to give up soda than it's been to not want to eat chips all the time? I am not sure. I choose water over soda all the time, even when I think it would taste good, but it's not working with the chips. Probably because, like, with the soda, you substitute it for doing something else, like with another habit, with the chips. It's like, if you're not eating, like, this is a really good question. If I wasn't eating chips, what would I be doing? What would I be thinking? Like, literally, I want you to think about, like, when I'm not having chips, what am I going to be left sitting there thinking about? For some of you, like, you may not have felt deprived if you didn't have soda. Your thought might have been, this shit's terrible for me. I've got to get off of it. With chips, it's just like, oh, but everybody should be able to have chips. Like, there's probably a thought change between the two, which makes one harder than the other. I've been delaying eating some foods like ice cream and say to myself, I can eat them when I am in maintenance. Now I realize it's probably not the right way. I'm a January baby and lost 40 pounds. Start introducing some of it now, like, once a week. Just say, like, here's the thing. I don't care if you don't want to eat them because it's like, you know what? I don't need it. Like, I'm good. But here's the thing. If you're thinking that somehow in maintenance it's going to be easier to eat ice cream, it's not. Here's what always happens in maintenance. I get to maintenance. I now want to eat these foods. They taste really good. They shoot up my, like, oh, I hadn't had this in a long time. I've earned it. I deserved it. Here I am in maintenance and a little won't hurt. Then you'll eat a little And then the scale will move like a pound or two, and it will trigger and snowball thoughts of, see, I knew you couldn't eat these things. This is going to be a problem. It's going to be so much harder to maintain your weight. You never really practiced eating foods that you actually plan to eat for the rest of your life. I want you guys practicing eating what you think you're going to eat for the rest of your life. If you're never going to have ice cream again, and you're just like, you know what, I'm the kind of person who wants to like never have ice cream again. I've decided I don't want it in my life. I like being thin better. And I seriously am never going to eat it again. Then don't. But if you're the kind of person who's like, I'm going to eat it when I lose my weight, this is going to be a treat, a reward, something I can handle at the end. Look, you're not going to be able to handle it because you never practiced learning how to handle it. You got to practice it all the way down. All right, guys. I hope this was super helpful for all the urge call stuff. We are still working on urges this month. Please continue to use Ask Coaches to bring your, like, guys, if you're doing models around it, bring it to Ask Coaches. Those girls love nothing more than to run models and to help you. And I just trained the coaches literally this week on even better techniques for them to dig deeper into your models. So if you're taking models to Ask Coaches, you're going to get some good stuff. I was trying to think if there's anything else. Nope, that's all I got. So I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to keep talking about it. And I do appreciate everybody who was on the call tonight, because this is like heavier stuff. Like, I think that when we start talking about urges, it's so, you saw how it's so loaded with binge eating and shame and judgment of yourself and all these thoughts. That right there, if I can teach all of us how to get out of all of that around urges and around our weight and around losing weight, if we can pull all that bullshit we think about out of it, I promise you, just saying no to urges and doing the four basics, they become so simple. So simple. All right. Bye, y'all.